If you have your Bible with you this morning, you can open it to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, to start off this morning. We've made it to this day, the State of the Church Address. And folks, when we look back over the last year, it's been a year since we've been together like this and charted the course for 2018. And when we look at what the Lord has done in our church, and if we look at what the Lord has done in our life, I mean, I'm excited. I'm pleased to see the way that the Lord has moved, the way that he has drawn people to him, and the way that he has helped us to grow and shape us. And I'm excited for the year ahead as well. I'm excited for the things that we know that the Lord will do and that we can't wait to see him do those things. And so I'm excited about this day. I've enjoyed preparing for this the last couple of weeks. As we pray and we make bold priorities in faith, and we allow God to bless us, and we allow God to use us to be a blessing in the community around us as we continue to grow and develop as he'd have us grow here at Evangel Assembly. So I want to start off this morning by looking at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. And we're going to look at the final verses, verses 16 through 20. We're going to take a look at these. They're going to help center our priorities and our focus for this year. And then we're going to jump into what the Lord has laid on my heart and what I see reflected through your hearts as well as we establish some directions for this year. So here we go. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then the Lord came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Let's pray together this morning. Lord, bless us this morning. Give us clarity, Lord God, to hear your voice, to hear your words this morning, Lord God. I just pray that as we look into your word and as we set direction for this year, Lord, that you will be part of it, that you will be the author and the finisher and the completion of it. We ask you for these things. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen. Folks, we just read Matthew's final account of the words that Jesus shared with the disciples before they left and before they went out and before Jesus left and went back to heaven. You can read Mark's account of this same situation at the end of Mark's gospel, and you can read Luke's account in Acts chapter 1. But Jesus met with the disciples one final time before he ascended to heaven, and he left them these instructions. We know this in church circles sometimes as the Great Commission. The commission that Jesus left his disciples, and it has several parts. The first one was this: go. Matthew said, "I want you to go," in verse 19. You know, going involves action of some sort. I have four children at home, and my youngest, Grayson, is still learning language. And so he hasn't mastered many words, but guess what one of the words is that he's mastered? Well, he can say no. That came pretty fast, yeah. But he's in speech therapy. They've been working on getting him to say his name, Grayson. And so we've been working on the G sound. But instead of saying Grayson, he's perfected go. Now, I don't know if that's the fact that he has four or three older siblings, but when they get around him and when they get bothering him, we know what's going on because we hear Grayson from the next room, go. Go, right, Gray? You're back there. I can see your head popping up. Can you say go for us? Can you say go? Thanks, Gray. So this is one of his really strong words. And when he says go, he means to get up and do something different than you're doing right now. Most likely he means leave me alone because you're bothering me. That's right. And you know what? Sometimes when we get together as adults, sometimes we talk about things a lot, and that's great because we have to have good strategies and good direction. But sometimes we can have the best intentions, and we have an idea of what we want to do, and so we can sit and we can talk about it, but we never execute and go. I think we make fun of government sometimes because it can be like that too. We can be like that as churches as well. So Jesus gave us instructions. First one was go to the disciples, to the church, the Great Commission. First is go, let's do something. And what is that something? He says, go and make disciples of all nations. What's a disciple? A disciple is someone that imitates or follows someone else. And so go into the nations, he says, and find people who will imitate and follow Jesus, or who will imitate and follow you as you follow Jesus. That second part kind of puts the onus a little closer to home, doesn't it? Following Jesus is what it means to be a disciple, but following us as we follow Jesus, that puts the onus on us. And so he says to go and to make disciples. And he says this, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We baptize in water here at Evangel Assembly as a symbol of the death and the burial and the resurrection to new life in Christ. And we've celebrated baptisms twice in 2018. And we have great testimonies of people who have walked through foundations and have come to the place where they've been baptized. We ask two questions when people are baptized. Have you confessed faith in Jesus Christ? And do you desire to live a life that follows after Christ's teaching? Do you desire to become a disciple of Christ? So Matthew says, through Jesus' words to us, to go to make disciples, to baptize them, and he says, teaching them to obey everything. Once we go and we bring in and we baptize, we teach and we instruct, and then Jesus says, you can't do it all on your own. I am with you to the very end of the age. Jesus will be with us to help us as we move forward, as we move along in these ways. So folks, here at Evangel Assembly, we are working on this stuff. We're moving ahead slowly but surely, slowly and steadily. That's the kind of stuff that sticks. We're moving along slowly and steadily, one thing at a time. You might remember last year in our State of the Church address, I mentioned that I have a spreadsheet. Remember, no one falls through the cracks. Remember that last year? Some of you weren't here last year, and that's okay. But one of our priorities last year is that no one falls through the cracks unnoticed. And so I have a spreadsheet, because that's just how I think sometimes. And I can tell you, as a matter of fact, that right now we have 163 adults who consider Evangel Assembly their home church. And these 163 are at different spaces and places in their relationship with God. And some have not even confessed an active faith in God yet, but they're journeying with us on a regular basis. And because we, the board, we pastor and monitor our body like this, we can know some things about our body. We can know that despite the funerals that we have done lately, and there have been many, despite the funerals that we have done, and despite the few folks who have chosen to find a church home in another church over this past year, Evangel Assembly, we've increased our reach by a measure of 5% this past year. Now, that might not seem like a whole lot to you folks, but let me frame it this way. Churches all around us are in decline. Churches all over our province and our country are at best sometimes in some places tenuously holding their own. Our own district in the early 2000s of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada was reporting declining years of churches and attendance, and under the current district leadership, they've stopped that up through some of the initiatives that they've started. But folks, Stats Canada tells us that in the last 20 years, Canadians have stopped attending church as much as they did. Whereas 30% of Canadians would have attended church 20 years ago, it's only 21% now. And on top of that, the population of Yarmouth has shrunk. And so folks, to say that here at Evangel Assembly, we have the people to show that we are growing and expanding in Jesus' name, that is a huge statement, and that is a huge step in the right direction. Folks, it would be easier, yes, it would be easier. It would be easier to toss our hands in the air and say, well, not here. What good can come from Yarmouth? Well, I grew up here, so maybe I'm just the kind of stubborn lead pastor you need, maybe. It would be easier for us to toss our hands in the air and say, it's too hard. The region is shrinking. Canadians are less interested in faith in God, and so we're just going to kind of go in a reverse direction. But folks, we're not. By the grace of God and only by the empowerment of God, and as we follow His word and are faithful to His message, we are moving forward as Evangel Assembly, and that is good news. That is good news. I mean, we could probably end the state of the church address right here, and that would be good news, but we're going to carry on. Folks, we just as we did last year, there was a survey that we put out, and this survey was important because I think and I hope that you folks hear from the Holy Spirit too. I mean, I hear from God, and maybe I get more time because I get to sit in my office, and when I'm not out pastorally caring for people, which has been a lot lately, I do get to sit and pray and meditate on the Word of God and ask Him to give me leadership, inspiration for our church, but you can hear from God too. And so we put out this survey, and we've collectively heard from God. And so next week, you're going to have a chance to pick up the results of the State of the Church survey. But let me give you some highlights, folks. When we talked about some of the things that you feel on your heart should be priorities here at Evangel Assembly, you know what the number one thing was that you felt like should be a priority here at Evangel Assembly? You felt like reaching out to community initiatives and reaching out to those in our community who are in need was one of the priorities. There's many that good things that you've selected, that you've indicated the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart about, and that is fantastic. We also talked about things that we do and things that we don't do that might best continue to equip us as disciples, because the Great Commission tells us we make disciples and we teach them and we train them up. And so what are some of the things we can do better in here to create disciples? Some of you, a number of you have indicated that a midweek study into the Word of God would be beneficial in your discipleship. And so we will talk about that. Some of you have indicated that you'd like to hear more sermons on salvation. Well, that is fantastic. And I hear you. I will do that. We need to continue to remind us of what the Word of God says. We asked about the words that describe Evangel Assembly. You know what the number one word that described our church was by people who have reported on this? 85% of you said Evangel Assembly is a really welcoming place to be. That's fantastic. And the second most popular was a spiritual place, and the third is a biblical place. Those are fantastic things. You know what the least used words to describe Evangel Assembly were? Of the words we offered, well, nobody selected political. That's good. Thank you for that. The least common words that we used, that were used to describe Evangel Assembly, was political and judgmental. And that is good too. But at the same time, we did receive some feedback that said, you know, sometimes people feel that negativity overshadows some of what we say. And so I feel like a parent sometimes. That's a sad choice. But folks, I know on our worst day, we all have things that just are bothersome for us, and we aren't always on our best, most godly behavior all the time. And so we're going to walk more closely with God in 2019, aware of some of these things as I give you all these results from our State of the Church survey, and we're going to become better disciples ourselves so that the people that follow behind us can follow us and can see Christ even better through us. There were so many great things that we heard in this particular survey, and so thank you for that. I appreciate your feedback. And so this morning, I want to lay out for us, the first one's on the screen already, four strategic priorities that are going to help us fulfill this great commission in greater ways throughout Evangel Assembly and throughout our community of Yarmouth in 2019. And before we get to that, folks, I just want you to know that these priorities are not the only things that matter to us here at Evangel Assembly. Just because one of the priorities doesn't say reading the Bible in prayer doesn't mean that these things are not important to us or necessary. Be careful not to read into the priorities what is not intended. There are practices like prayer and worship and scripture reading that are always priorities for all churches and for all Christians at all time. And it's not just for one season or one year. And so I'm assuming that we're going to continue to do all of those things that we have been doing to keep our relationship with Christ vital. But there's some things that we're going to do this year, things that we're going to talk about this year that we may not have done before, and that will be unique to 2019 and will be necessary for us as we continue to fulfill the mandate that Christ has given to us. And the first priority for this year is we're going to clarify the big picture vision and mission of Evangel Assembly. Now, before you can write down stuff, and I think it's a great idea, but I am going to give you a handout after, but I just kept him here because I want you to listen to me. That's why. You'll get that in print. But folks, clarify the big picture mission and vision, or vision and mission of Evangel Assembly. What are these things, folks? Vision is what we see. Vision is what we see down the road. That might not be what we see with our eyes now, but what we see could be. And mission is how we get there. And to some degree, vision is easy. At least for some people who dream and are visionary, vision is easy. Mission is the hard part. How are we going to get there? The Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada has established a 2020 vision. They established that about 5 years ago, and working toward 2020, that they would have 1% of the Canadian population worshiping in a PAOC church by 2020. We're getting really close to that. We've pulled our weight. Our town's about 7,000. 1% is only 70 people. We've doubled that, which is good. Then again, we are the only PAOC church in our county. Of about 30,000, that's 300. We'll work on that, not by 2020, I'm sure. But those are solid visions that the PAOC has put out there. When I was speaking with Pastor AJ from Yarmouth Wesleyan Church a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about vision and leadership for local churches. And he said this, he said, sometimes we need to define vision in terms of a direction and not a destination. This is something that one of his mentors shared with him. And there's wisdom to that, because when we define vision as a destination, as a we're going to be a church of this or that, and then we get there, well, then what? But instead, we're going to define the direction that we are moving toward. And so, in loose terms, here is our direction in 2019 and beyond. We are going to increase our capacity so that we can reach and disciple those whose hearts are being drawn to Christ. Now, I know that's not a statement that might be new, and it's not catchy, and it's still pretty broad, and we'll probably figure out how to say it better. But my hunch is that is the vision of every church. We need to increase our capacity so that we can reach and disciple those whose hearts are being drawn by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the vision. How are we going to do that? That's the mission. And I think that's what separates churches from those that achieve their vision and those that do not. With God as our help, we're going to achieve this vision together. Now, folks, since I've arrived a year and a half ago, I've been doing a lot of different things that might seem maybe a little random or haphazard, a gathering here, a gathering there, a program here, a this and a that. But, folks, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like dumping out a puzzle onto a tabletop when you're getting ready to do it. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever worked on a puzzle before? And you open the brand new box with all the pieces and you dump it out on the table. It looks like a disastrous mess, right? And then you have to find the pieces that first connect together. You get some of the edges together. And then it starts to take shape. But you would give up making the puzzle if it wasn't for the front of the box, right? You would give up working on the puzzle if it wasn't for the front of the box. Folks, as your lead pastor, in my mind, I can see the front of the box for Evangel Assembly, and I think that's a really good thing. And so I'm just asking you to trust me and to trust the leadership as we continue to communicate what the front of the box looks like, what the Holy Spirit has dropped in our hearts. We've seen some of the first fruits of that already, but folks, when I pray here on Wednesday nights, when we walk around in Wednesday night prayer, when I pray on my own, and when I sit, and when I just dream about what the Lord can do. Mandy walks in sometimes. She says, "Why are you just staring off into space?" I'm doing something incredibly productive in those moments. Something that I'm in fact being paid to do, so it's okay. But folks, I know the Lord has been putting dreams and visions in your hearts as well. And I've heard some of them, and I've heard the way the Holy Spirit is inspiring and generating momentum and excitement in your hearts as well. And so trust me and those who are the visionaries that if we stick with the Lord, good days and good things are ahead for Evangel Assembly. And not just to lift us up, but better things are in store for those who do not know Christ and are going to come into that transformational relationship with Him because of the ministry of what we do here at Evangel Assembly. Because, folks, God has continued to pour out His Spirit. And God is already drawing people to Him. I'm going to share on this later on in the year. But folks, to suggest that there's no one that God is drawing to Him in our community is to suggest that the Word of God is lying when it tells us that the harvest is plenty, but the harvesters are few. And so that's why one of the very first things we need to do as our mission is to increase our capacity to minister. And capacity is not about chairs and carpets because we have enough of those. Capacity is people equipped to lead others to Christ and walk with them as they give a piece of what Christ has imparted to them. And so we're going to talk about capacity later on in the year, and we'll start to glimpse some of these things together. Folks, I've learned this year as I've listened to wise mentors that pastors and preachers that tend to preach more visionary-related stuff like I am today tend to cast a great picture but don't help us figure out what the next step is. And so let me tell you what the next step could be. Folks, invite people to gather with you here at Evangel Assembly. You wouldn't believe sometimes when people call and they say, "Well, can I come? Am I allowed to come?" Are you allowed to come? Whoever gave you the notion that Evangel Assembly or any church for that matter was a closed club, are you allowed to come? We get calls about our BG ministry. Now, maybe Becky would rather we have a lid there somewhere. But we get calls sometimes. Well, we have a cousin who's interested. Are they allowed to come? Are they allowed to come? Of course they're allowed to come. In fact, our van, when it goes down one of the cul-de-sacs in our town, I hear from some of our van drivers, we pick up about 75% of the kids in that cul-de-sac, which is fantastic. Let's work for 100. How about that? We'll pick up the last few. We'll get them. Of course they're allowed to come. And on Sunday gatherings as well, we have a series coming up called You Asked For It, because you've submitted your questions, your things that you would love to have your lead pastor talk about, and you've not let him off easy at all. And that's okay. And so in the next couple of weeks, as we get ready for that, I'm going to lay out the topics. And folks, there may be questions, there may be things you've asked that others around might be wondering, a great opportunity to bring them in and to have a conversation about some of their questions. So invite people to come be part of us, to check us out, to be part of what we do. And the second thing is this: if you are here at Evangel Assembly and you are in ministry, you're doing something, you're ushering, you're in the kitchen, you're a musician, you are a greeter, bring someone alongside of you and get them to do it with you this year. Especially if you're the only one that does something. Especially if you're the only one, because we want to continue to multiply our influence, and God will bless that. And so we're going to continue this year to clarify the big picture vision, that front of the puzzle box, what we see, and the mission, how we're going to get there. That's going to be a priority at Evangel Assembly as we get ready for next year, which is 2020, and everything that this next decade will bring in our town and in our ministry together. Here's the second priority for 2019. We're going to grow our financial stewardship, starting with global missions and local benevolence. Now, here at Evangel Assembly, we have been blessed with faithful donors, and that is fantastic, and we appreciate everything that folks contribute to the ministry of the local church. But we have to realize as well that we also have some significant donors who are of a significant age. I've done some calculating over the last while. 75% of our financial resources come from individuals aged 60 and up. And so while we are good right now, and we will be good for another decade perhaps, we need to be aware of this, and we need to challenge ourselves, especially those of us who are my age, to continue to faithfully become stewards of our finances. In fact, 85% of our financial resources come from those who are 50 and over. So 15% of our financial resources come from folks who are younger than 50. And so we might say, well, that's just because of the attendance demographic. I mean, we look around, that's just because we have fewer people my age and a lot more people who are older than me. And that's true, we do lean in that direction. But people my age under 50 make up a third of our church. Yet we only contribute 15% of the financial resources of our assembly. And in fact, 10% of our annual budget comes from people you will never see through the door because they can't come anymore. Because they are stuck at home because of illness, because of mobility barriers, but they continue to be faithful in their stewardship. And so there's room for growth there, especially in the next season of Evangel Assembly, as the next generation begins to take on the financial stewardship of the ministry of Evangel Assembly. And I've shared on this in the fall. It's about God blessing us as much as we bless Him. We will never be indebted to the Lord. Now, there's some folks, after I've preached in the fall on financial stewardship, there's some folks who've shared with me some testimonies of what the Lord has done when they have been good stewards. And so I do want to invite one of them to come. And I asked her if she would, and she's really nervous. But, folks, she just wants to give a brief testimony about how God has blessed her through her faithful stewardship. So, Penny, after I preached this in the fall, Penny and I had some conversations, and she shared with me that, you know, when she took stewardship seriously, there were blessings from the Lord that came from that. Did you want to stay there, Penny, or do you want to come up to a chair? Okay.
This won't be long. When I became a member again, I thought, well, one of the things about being a member is that I have to pay my tithes. And the Lord was dealing with me for that, because I was one, well, you know, I always had to buy groceries and I always had to pay the bills, and I'm sure there's other people like I was. But then I read in Mark 12, Jesus sat down opposite the place where offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. She put everything she had. She trusted God, and she put everything she had. And I wasn't doing that. So now I'm like, why wouldn't I trust God with my money? Why? And he's really blessed me. He's given us what we need. We always have what we need. The bills are paid. Like, I'm blessed. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Penny. Appreciate that very much. It's really encouraging as a pastor when I preach and then we interact later and we find that people are putting things into practice and they're seeing God move faithfully in their lives when they're faithful with Him. And so global missions and local benevolence, folks, those are concrete projects. Those are things that we do here at Evangel Assembly that might kind of fall under the radar, but we can see direct impacts of those things. And so I thought it would be a great thing for us to start there. This past year, we've contributed $25,000 to global missions, and we have done that on a regular basis, in addition to the $5,000 that we contribute to MAC through our Sunday school. And so we've contributed $30,000 to missions endeavors, and in 2019, we are looking at about the same in pledges. The board and I are just wrapping up what our pledges will be for 2019. But I want to encourage you, and I want to, throughout the year, keep our global workers more in the limelight so you know what is going on in their ministries and so that we know exactly what it is that we are contributing to. And then every time they come, you inevitably talk with me about a short-term missions trip. And so maybe we'll consider that, and maybe in 2020 we can have a short-term missions team as we contribute this year and as we get ready and as we talk about our desire to partner with our global workers. But something that maybe flies even further under the radar is local benevolence. Folks, we don't necessarily receive a whole lot of financial resources designated for local benevolence. This past year, I think we received $50 in donations, but we contributed $2,000 to needs within our community. We have people who stop by who are finding themselves in a crisis moment in their life where they have no groceries and they have no food, and we respond to that need. There's times when we cooperate with other organizations in town, the Salvation Army, the Tabitha Center, the Food Bank, and the Midtown Motel occasionally, because of the needs that we see and because of the ways that we can respond to them. We've helped individuals with prescription medication. We've helped individuals with utilities who at various times in life just come up upon a season that is incredibly difficult, and we can be there to minister to their needs. And so this year, I wanted to highlight that for us a bit more so that we could become motivated and even donate to local benevolence. In fact, it was the heart of the board and myself as we set our budget for 2019 that our benevolence, our local needy fund, would actually be a balanced budget this year, that we would receive in contributions as much as we contribute to the community, and in itself would balance itself out. And so that is a goal for us here at Evangel Assembly in 2019. And so here's the challenge. Here's the action step. You can go back and listen to the message on stewardship, the two I shared in the fall. But if you are contributing finances, take a step of faith and ask the Lord, could there be an increase this year? If you're not contributing, ask the Lord, what could I start with? Remember my mantra, it's never changed. Start small. Let it grow from there. Start small, stay regular, and let it grow from there, because the Lord will bless us as we bless him. I know it's a big ask, folks, but I'm not asking for anything that Mandy and I have not gone above and beyond in our own lives every single year for our local churches that we have been a part of as well. And so consider your contributions to global missions and local benevolence and in tithes and offering, because the blessing will be for you both and the kingdom of God. There is no loss here as we move into a next season at Evangel Assembly. And to make it easy for you, we did launch e-giving in the fall. So we have two ways to give. You remember those cards? Two ways to give. You know, you can give in cash and check, and you can also donate electronically. Well, we have a third way to give that one of our deacons has tested out, and we are now ready to present that to you folks as well. It's called PAR, Pre-Authorized Remittance. And so if you find that it's just tough for you to remember or to go to the bank, or you don't have checks but you have it in your heart to contribute, we have a service that allows us to, on a regular basis, receive funds from your bank account to our bank account, and you will get a tax receipt at the end of the year for those things. And so if that is something that you think would facilitate your donations and your stewardship, that is something that you would like to be a part of, you can speak with our office administrator, Kathy. She has the forms in the office to get you set up with PAR. One of our board members is already set up with PAR, and it's functioning marvelously well. Can I out you? Dave, if you want to know how it works, you can talk with someone who is using this particular method of donation, Dave and Doris Watkins. This is something that they said, this would be easy for us. And I said, well, the PAOC has a function like that. We can use that. And so you can chat with them if you have any questions about that, and also Kathy in our office. That is our second priority for 2019. Here's our third priority for 2019, and this will come as no surprise because of everything we've been discussing over the last 3 weeks. But the second priority will be for us as a congregation to discuss and update our leadership qualifications according to Scripture. And the first way that we can do that, as we've shared over the last 3 weeks, is move toward equal leadership opportunities for men and women alike at Evangel Assembly. Over the past weeks that we've been together, I've shared through Scripture, and we've seen that God has used women in leadership capacities all throughout Scripture with amazing results. And just last week, we looked at when Paul speaks about women in leadership in the New Testament, he seems to affirm it in some places, and he seems to restrict it in others. And we said, this is confusing. Why the double talk? And so we understand Paul's words to indicate this, that he was giving the church instructions for how to best live and operate in an imperfect cultural situation so that the message of the gospel could be primary. But Paul even improved these situations. Instead of stating, as the culture would have, that women need not learn, which was the cultural standard of the day, he created situations where women could learn, and he defined how women might pray and how women might prophesy when the local church was gathered together. And he says the same thing about slavery. Paul says, obey your master, slaves. But he says in 1 Corinthians, if you can find your freedom, take it. To women, he says, live within an imperfect culture as best you can, pressing gently against the edges, allowing women to learn and to pray and to prophesy. And where women were permitted to hold leadership, he thanked them in Romans 16. He thanked Chloe, who was a deaconess, and he thanked Junia, who was an apostle, and he held a church in Lydia's home, a prominent businesswoman in the community. Folks, we don't live in a culture today where the scandal is that women have leadership positions. In fact, the scandal is that they don't. We're freed of the cultural pressures against this leadership. And so Paul, like slavery, would encourage us to move forward and embrace that. Now, we might be inclined to maintain what we have always done because it's worked for us so far. Excluding women from positions on board leadership has brought us this far. And if you've been around Evangel for a while, we might not think it's a big deal. You might think if God wanted it changed, he would have already spoken to us. But folks, I'm having these conversations with people on their way into our church. And trust me, as your leader, this is a deal about our witness to the community. I want Evangel to be a church that holds the word of God, scripture, in high regard. I know you do too. I want us to hold scripture higher than our traditions. And I see, and we have shared in scripture, that at some times and at some places, God has empowered women for leadership. Over the time of church history, the church has made many course corrections. The Protestant Reformation, the Pentecostal revivals, and the Lord started speaking to people recently and some years ago, reminding them of the women in Scripture who have held positions of leadership and influence in virtually all major denominations of Christianity today, affirm the equality of women in ministry and church leadership, including our own denomination. Even churches that maybe have staunchly opposed this in the past have recognized that in Scripture, at some times and some places, women were afforded the opportunity to lead, and God has allowed this to take place. And so I'm suggesting that we discuss this and that we update our leadership policy that keeps women from holding some leadership positions to a more scriptural policy that allows that sometimes and in some places, women be granted the ability to lead. Now, what this doesn't mean is that we have to have a woman on the board at all times at Evangel Assembly. As I've discussed this, there's been maybe some confusion or some misunderstanding about what this might mean. What it means is that we nominate, as we do every year, men and women are nominated every year. I'm not sure if we realize that, but women are nominated every year. But the new policy would mean that we just don't disqualify them on the basis of the fact that they are a woman. But in fact, we consider everyone's character and everyone's suitability for leadership according to Scripture as we would consider any man who is nominated. And then we vote as a congregation at the business meeting. And if your conscience tells you that you cannot vote to put a woman in this position, then you have the right of your individual conscience vote. That is okay. But let's acknowledge that at some times and some places, Scripture does allow for women in leadership. And through our Pentecostal revivals, we see women functioning in that way. You know, I've heard a fear as well that sometimes we have two positions and only two candidates, and essentially we don't get a say. What if we have someone who is not qualified to lead and they just get on the board by default? That's happened in the past, and that's not the best way. I know this is how it happened last year, but more true to our Constitution, folks, is that individuals do not get a position on the board unless there is a majority vote and the majority confidence of the congregation. And congregations have the right to choose a vacancy versus any individual candidates. And so it might be best for us to move forward in this capacity in any way. In this way, congregations have sufficient checks and balances so that any woman or man will be subjected to the scrutiny of the Word of God and given the confidence of the membership before they are allowed to find their way into leadership. How do we get there? There's the vision, now the mission. If I could wave a wand and make it happen, I would, but I can't, because many, many years ago, the congregation of Evangel Assembly put this policy in place, and policies must be changed by the way they were put in place in proper process, and so a congregational policy change would require a 50% majority votes at a business meeting. And so, folks, consider in your minds a resolution that would open the door and bring our policies more in line with Scripture, that at some times and some places we can allow equipped women to hold leadership positions while allowing all of us to still vote our conscience as we feel on this issue. Consider that, and we'll discuss that more this year. That is priority number three. Priority number four, last but not least, is to refresh our practice of youth ministry here at Evangel Assembly. Now, we have some people that we need to honor that have brought us to the place where we are today. And so I know, Ryan, you're all the way back there in the sound booth, but can you kind of just come on out and come hang out with us? You won't? Come on out, Ryan. You got the stairs. You're only a couple years older than I am. And you can come on over here and gather around. He's not running away, is he? No, he's coming. Good. Ryan and Ryan's wife, Jocelyn, is over here, and she loves that everyone's just looking this way right now, I'm sure. But Ryan and Jocelyn together, even though Jocelyn has not always been physically here, Jocelyn has had her husband not with her at home at many times. Ryan has brought significant leadership to the youth ministry here over the years. Ryan has given up personal vacation time from work. You know those times when we take and we go somewhere on vacation? Ryan has taken students to youth conventions and to youth camps, and Ryan has spent countless Friday nights taking van loads of children to youth rallies in Barrington and sleeping on church floors at focus retreats at Full Gospel Church in Halifax. Ryan, I gave up on sleeping on church floors years ago, and you're older than I am, just by a smidge. Just by a smidge. Ryan and I were in high school together, so it's not that different. But Ryan, you have done a fantastic job, and Jocelyn, you have given him the flex and the freedom and the ability to do that job. And so, folks, can we just take a moment, as Scripture says, honor your leaders. Can we honor them for what they have done in our youth ministry so far? Thank you. And as pastors have come and gone and come and gone and come and gone and come and gone, you guys have been the steady. You guys have been the consistency there. And the good news is, I know if it hadn't been for all the funerals, we would have had lunch already. The good news is, you're not off the hook at all. But what we are going to do when Pastor Aaron comes, we are going to have another resource that comes alongside of you guys and alongside of the leaders that are working tirelessly with you. He's going to function as a resource. We're not going to call him the youth pastor because he's not going to be the youth pastor, but he's going to come alongside of Ryan, and maybe you'll get to see him more, Jocelyn, and he's going to come alongside of the leadership and the youth, and together, Aaron and me and Ryan and I have already talked about some of these features. We are going to refresh our youth ministry here at Evangel Assembly in 2019. We refreshed children's ministry last year, and that is getting ready to take off in a new direction. We're going to refresh our practice of youth ministry because we want to have a youth ministry that is engaging, that brings people in. We need to have that entrance strategy. We also want to have a discipleship strategy because we want to equip and encourage students to take ownership of their faith, and we want to have a leadership strategy as well. Those young adults and those high school students who have leadership aptitudes, we want to pour into them and invest in them, because if you look around, there's no 20-somethings in our church, or very few. Sorry, Kaylin. Very few. And so we want to raise up the next generation to fill that gap, and so that when those of us who are older and more seasoned in our leadership capacities are no longer able to give leadership any longer, we have a solid generation coming behind us that is here, that is connected with us, that is connected with our church, and can take over and carry on the direction that God has given for us. And so, what can we do about that? How can you right now take small steps forward? Well, we need to function as a multi-generational ministry, as a church that passes our faith on from one generation to another. So invest your love and your compassion in the youth and the young generation in ways right now. We have some people that send cards to our college students. Tasha Stewart's in England right now. It's probably pretty lonely. Send her a text or an email or a card if you happen to snag her address. I'm sure her parents know how to get a hold of her. They were here. Now I see Sharon. She's still there. And folks, get ready to, at some times, invest some pieces of your life into students. There will be opportunities for short-term mentoring by older adults, prayer partners, teachers, leaders. Be prepared to invest in the next generation some of what God has put into your heart as well. That will be a fourth priority for Evangel Assembly this year. So folks, 2019 is going to be another year of blessing, I am sure. It's going to be a year of continuing to get our house in order for what the Lord is going to do. We're setting the stage for the next decade. 2020, believe it or not, is just around the corner. And as the Lord moves us as Evangel Assembly to greater depths of ministry and influence within our town, as we see people come and accept Christ as their Savior and Lord, we're going to require greater depths of commitment and greater depths of resolve on our own parts as well as we disciple, as we increase our capacity. And so we need every hand on the deck in these next year and in the years ahead, because we've said farewell and goodbye to some fantastic people, especially over this last month, men and women of God, those whose passion and service have brought us to the place where we are today. But we need to pick up the cross, pick up the cause in our hands, and increase our capacity, because the future is good if we keep our ear to the Word of God and the other ear to the voice of the Spirit. The future is good. And we will continue to be molded and transformed into the church and into the people that God would have us to be. Let me close this morning with some words I shared yesterday at Becky's funeral. Hebrews 12 says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith." Let me pray together this morning before we leave. Lord God, I just pray that as we walk into 2019 with some clear directions and mandates, as we have heard from you together in the State of the Church survey, and as we walk into these things that you've put on our hearts, Lord, that you would bless them, and that as your word says in the Gospel of Matthew, that we would always have you with us until the end of the age. Lord, I know it will be difficult at some times. Some of the things that we walk through are challenging, but I pray that you will continue to use your Holy Spirit to guide and to direct us, and that we would be bound together in unity through Christ and his cross and what he has done and what you have done for us, Lord. So we ask all of these things in the name of Christ, and we commit the remainder of this year to you and your purposes as we move forward together. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible with you this morning, you can open it to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, to start off this morning. We've made it to this day, the State of the Church address. And folks, when we look back over the last year, it's been a year since we've been together like this and charted the course for 2018. And when we look at what the Lord has done in our church, and if we look at what the Lord has done in our life, I mean, I'm excited. I'm pleased to see the way that the Lord has moved, the way that he has drawn people to him, and the way that he has helped us to grow and shape us, and I'm excited for the year ahead as well. I'm excited for the things that we know that the Lord will do, and that we can't wait to see him do those things, and so I'm excited about this day. I've enjoyed preparing for this the last couple of weeks. As we pray and we make bold priorities in faith, and we allow God to bless us, and we allow God to use us to be a blessing in the community around us as we continue to grow and develop as he'd have us grow here at Evangel Assembly. So I want to start off this morning by looking at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. And we're going to look at the final verses, verses 16 through 20. We're going to take a look at these. They're going to help center our priorities and our focus for this year. And then we're going to jump into what the Lord has laid on my heart and what I see reflected through your hearts as well as we establish some directions for this year. So here we go. Matthew 28, verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then the Lord came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, bless us this morning. Give us clarity, Lord God, to hear your voice, to hear your words this morning, Lord God. I just pray that as we look into your word and as we set direction for this year, Lord, that you will be part of it, that you will be the author and the finisher and the completion of it. We ask you for these things. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen. Folks, we just read Matthew's final account of the words that Jesus shared with the disciples before they left and before they went out and before Jesus left and went back to heaven. You can read Mark's account of this same situation at the end of Mark's gospel, and you can read Luke's account in Acts chapter 1. But Jesus met with the disciples one final time before he ascended to heaven, and he left them these instructions. We know this in church circles sometimes as the Great Commission. The commission that Jesus left his disciples, and it has several parts. The first one was this: go. Matthew said, I want you to go in verse 19. You know, going involves action of some sort. I have four children at home, and my youngest, Grayson, is still learning language. And so he hasn't mastered many words, but guess what one of the words is that he's mastered? Well, he can say no. That came pretty fast, yeah. But he's in speech therapy. They've been working on getting him to say his name, Grayson. And so we've been working on the G sound. But instead of saying Grayson, he's perfected go. Now, I don't know if that's the fact that he has four or three older siblings, but when they get around him and when they get bothering him, we know what's going on because we hear Grayson from the next room, go, go, right, Gray? You're back there. I can see your head popping up. Can you say go for us? Can you say go? Thanks, Gray. So this is one of his really strong words. And when he says go, he means to get up and do something different than you're doing right now. Most likely he means leave me alone because you're bothering me. That's right. And you know what? Sometimes when we get together as adults, sometimes we talk about things a lot. And that's great because we have to have good strategies and good direction. But sometimes we can have the best intentions and we can have an idea of what we want to do. And so we can sit and we can talk about it, but we never execute and go. I think we make fun of government sometimes because it can be like that too. We can be like that as churches as well. So Jesus gave us instructions. First one was go to the disciples, to the church, the Great Commission. First is go, let's do something. And what is that something? He says, go and make disciples of all nations. What's a disciple? A disciple is someone that imitates or follows someone else. And so go into the nations, he says, and find people who will imitate and follow Jesus, or who will imitate and follow you as you follow Jesus. That second part kind of puts the onus a little closer to home, doesn't it? Following Jesus is what it means to be a disciple, but following us as we follow Jesus, that puts the onus on us. And so he says to go and to make disciples. And he says this, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We baptize in water here at Evangel Assembly as a symbol of the death and the burial and the resurrection to new life in Christ. And we've celebrated baptisms twice in 2018. And we have great testimonies of people who have walked through foundations and have come to the place where they've been baptized. We ask two questions when people are baptized. Have you confessed faith in Jesus Christ? And do you desire to live a life that follows after Christ's teaching? Do you desire to become a disciple of Christ? So Matthew says, through Jesus' words to us, to go, to make disciples, to baptize them. And he says, teaching them to obey everything. Once we go and we bring in and we baptize, we teach and we instruct. And then Jesus says, you can't do it all on your own. I am with you to the very end of the age. Jesus will be with us to help us as we move forward, as we move along in these ways. So, folks, here at Evangel Assembly, we are working on this stuff. We're moving ahead slowly but surely, slowly and steadily. That's the kind of stuff that sticks. We're moving along slowly and steadily, one thing at a time. You might remember last year in our State of the Church address, I mentioned that I have a spreadsheet. Remember, no one falls through the cracks. Remember that last year? Some of you weren't here last year, and that's okay. But one of our priorities last year is that no one falls through the cracks unnoticed. And so I have a spreadsheet, because that's just how I think sometimes. And I can tell you, as a matter of fact, that right now we have 163 adults who consider Evangel Assembly their home church. And these 163 are at different spaces and places in their relationship with God. And some have not even confessed an active faith in God yet, but they're journeying with us on a regular basis. And because we, the board, pastor and monitor our body like this, we can know some things about our body. We can know that despite the funerals that we have done lately, and there have been many, despite the funerals that we have done, and despite the few folks who have chosen to find a church home in another church over this past year, Evangel Assembly, we've increased our reach by a measure of 5% this past year. Now, that might not seem like a whole lot to you folks, but let me frame it this way. Churches all around us are in decline. Churches all over our province and our country are at best, sometimes in some places, tenuously holding their own. Our own district in the early 2000s of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada was reporting declining years of churches and attendance. And under the current district leadership, they've stopped that up through some of the initiatives that they've started. But folks, Stats Canada tells us that in the last 20 years, Canadians have stopped attending church as much as they did. Whereas 30% of Canadians would have attended church 20 years ago, it's only 21% now. And on top of that, the population of Yarmouth has shrunk. And so folks, to say that here at Evangel Assembly, we have the people to show that we are growing and expanding in Jesus' name, that is a huge statement, and that is a huge step in the right direction. Folks, it would be easier. Yes, it would be easier. It would be easier to toss our hands in the air and say, well, not here. What good can come from Yarmouth? Well, I grew up here, so maybe I'm just the kind of stubborn lead pastor you need, maybe. It would be easier for us to toss our hands in the air and say, it's too hard. The region is shrinking. Canadians are less interested in faith in God, and so we're just going to kind of go in a reverse direction. But folks, we're not. By the grace of God and only by the empowerment of God, and as we follow his word and are faithful to his message, we are moving forward as Evangel Assembly, and that is good news. That is good news. I mean, we could probably end the State of the Church address right here, and that would be good news, but we're going to carry on. Folks, we just as we did last year, there was a survey that we put out. And this survey was important because I think and I hope that you folks hear from the Holy Spirit too. I mean, I hear from God, and maybe I get more time because I get to sit in my office, and when I'm not out pastorally caring for people, which has been a lot lately, I do get to sit and pray and meditate on the Word of God and ask Him to give me leadership, inspiration for our church, but you can hear from God too. And so we put out this survey, and we've collectively heard from God. And so next week, you're going to have a chance to pick up the results of the State of the Church survey. But let me give you some highlights, folks. When we talked about some of the things that you feel on your heart should be priorities here at Evangel Assembly, you know what the number one thing was that you felt like should be a priority here at Evangel Assembly? You felt like reaching out to community initiatives and reaching out to those in our community who are in need was one of the priorities. There's many that good things that you've selected and that you've indicated the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart about, and that is fantastic. We also talked about things that we do and things that we don't do that might best continue to equip us as disciples, because the Great Commission tells us we make disciples and we teach them and we train them up. And so what are some of the things we can do better in here to create disciples? Some of you, a number of you, have indicated that a midweek study into the Word of God would be beneficial in your discipleship. And so we will talk about that. Some of you have indicated that you'd like to hear more sermons on salvation. Well, that is fantastic. And I hear you. I will do that. We need to continue to remind us of what the Word of God says. We asked about the words that describe Evangel Assembly. You know what the number one word that described our church was by people who have reported on this? 85% of you said Evangel Assembly is a really welcoming place to be. That's fantastic. And the second most popular was a spiritual place, and the third is a biblical place. Those are fantastic things. You know what the least used words to describe Evangel Assembly were? Of the words we offered, well, nobody selected political. That's good. Thank you for that. The least common words that we used, that were used to describe Evangel Assembly, was political and judgmental. And that is good too. But at the same time, we did receive some feedback that said, you know, sometimes people feel that negativity overshadows some of what we say. And so I feel like a parent sometimes. That's a sad choice. But folks, I know on our worst day, we all have things that just are bothersome for us, and we aren't always on our best, most godly behavior all the time. And so we're going to walk more closely with God in 2019, aware of some of these things as I give you all these results from our State of the Church survey, and we're going to become better disciples ourselves so that the people that follow behind us can follow us and can see Christ even better through us. There were so many great things that we heard in this particular survey, and so thank you for that. I appreciate your feedback. And so this morning, I want to lay out for us, the first one's on the screen already, four strategic priorities that are going to help us fulfill this great commission in greater ways throughout Evangel Assembly and throughout our community of Yarmouth in 2019. And before we get to that, folks, I just want you to know that these priorities are not the only things that matter to us here at Evangel Assembly. Just because one of the priorities doesn't say reading the Bible in prayer doesn't mean that these things are not important to us or necessary. Be careful not to read into the priorities what is not intended. There are practices like prayer and worship and scripture reading that are always priorities for all churches and for all Christians at all time. And it's not just for one season or one year. And so I'm assuming that we're going to continue to do all of those things that we have been doing to keep our relationship with Christ vital. But there's some things that we're going to do this year, things that we're going to talk about this year that we may not have done before and that will be unique to 2019 and will be necessary for us as we continue to fulfill the mandate that Christ has given to us. And the first priority for this year is we're going to clarify the big picture vision and mission of Evangel Assembly. Now, before you can write down stuff, and I think it's a great idea, but I am going to give you a handout after, but I just kept them here because I want you to listen to me. That's why. You'll get that in print. But folks, clarify the big picture mission and vision, or vision and mission of Evangel Assembly. What are these things, folks? Vision is what we see. Vision is what we see down the road that might not be what we see with our eyes now, but what we see could be. And mission is how we get there. And to some degree, vision is easy. At least for some people who dream and are visionary, vision is easy. Mission is the hard part. How are we going to get there? The Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada has established a 2020 vision. They established that about 5 years ago, and working toward 2020, that they would have 1% of the Canadian population worshiping in a PAOC church by 2020. We're getting really close to that. We've pulled our weight. Our town's about 7,000. 1% is only 70 people. We've doubled that, which is good. Then again, we are the only PAOC church in our county. Of about 30,000, that's 300. We'll work on that, not by 2020, I'm sure. But those are solid visions that the PAOC has put out there. When I was speaking with Pastor AJ from Yarmouth Wesleyan Church a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about vision and leadership for local churches. And he said this, he said, sometimes we need to define vision in terms of a direction and not a destination. This is something that one of his mentors shared with him. And there's wisdom to that, because when we define vision as a destination, as a we're going to be a church of this or that, and then we get there, well, then what? But instead, we're going to define the direction that we are moving toward. And so, in loose terms, here is our direction in 2019 and beyond. We are going to increase our capacity so that we can reach and disciple those whose hearts are being drawn to Christ. Now, I know that's not a statement that might be new, and it's not catchy, and it's still pretty broad, and we'll probably figure out how to say it better. But my hunch is that is the vision of every church. We need to increase our capacity so that we can reach and disciple those whose hearts are being drawn by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the vision. How are we going to do that? That's the mission. And I think that's what separates churches from those that achieve their vision and those that do not. With God as our help, we're going to achieve this vision together. Now, folks, since I've arrived a year and a half ago, I've been doing a lot of different things that might seem maybe a little random or haphazard, a gathering here, a gathering there, a program here, a this and a that. But, folks, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like dumping out a puzzle onto a tabletop when you're getting ready to do it. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever worked on a puzzle before? And you open the brand new box with all the pieces and you dump it out on the table. It looks like a disastrous mess, right? And then you have to find the pieces that first connect together. You get some of the edges together. And then it starts to take shape. But you would give up making the puzzle if it wasn't for the front of the box, right? You would give up working on the puzzle if it wasn't for the front of the box. Folks, as your lead pastor, in my mind, I can see the front of the box for Evangel Assembly, and I think that's a really good thing. And so I'm just asking you to trust me and to trust the leadership as we continue to communicate what the front of the box looks like, what the Holy Spirit has dropped in our hearts. We've seen some of the first fruits of that already, but folks, when I pray here on Wednesday nights, when we walk around in Wednesday night prayer, when I pray on my own, and when I sit, and when I just dream about what the Lord can do. Mandy walks in sometimes. She says, why are you just staring off into space? I'm doing something incredibly productive in those moments. Something that I'm in fact being paid to do. So it's okay. But folks, I know the Lord has been putting dreams and visions in your hearts as well. And I've heard some of them, and I've heard the way the Holy Spirit is inspiring and generating momentum and excitement in your hearts as well. And so trust me and those who are the visionaries that if we stick with the Lord, good days and good things are ahead for Evangel Assembly. And not just to lift us up, but better things are in store for those who do not know Christ and are going to come into that transformational relationship with Him because of the ministry of what we do here at Evangel Assembly. Because folks, God has continued to pour out His Spirit. And God is already drawing people to Him. I'm going to share on this later on in the year. But folks, to suggest that there's no one that God is drawing to Him in our community is to suggest that the Word of God is lying when it tells us that the harvest is plenty, but the harvesters are few. And so that's why one of the very first things we need to do as our mission is to increase our capacity to minister. And capacity is not about chairs and carpets because we have enough of those. Capacity is people equipped to lead others to Christ and walk with them as they give a piece of what Christ has imparted to them. And so we're going to talk about capacity later on in the year, and we'll start to glimpse some of these things together. Folks, I've learned this year as I've listened to wise mentors that pastors and preachers that tend to preach more visionary-related stuff like I am today tend to cast a great picture but don't help us figure out what the next step is. And so let me tell you what the next step could be. Folks, invite people to gather with you here at Evangel Assembly. You wouldn't believe sometimes when people call and they say, well, can I come? Am I allowed to come? Are you allowed to come? Whoever gave you the notion that Evangel Assembly or any church for that matter was a closed club, are you allowed to come? We get calls about our BG ministry. Now maybe Becky would rather we have a lid there somewhere. But we get calls sometimes, well, we have a cousin who's interested. Are they allowed to come? Are they allowed to come? Of course they're allowed to come. In fact, our van, when it goes down one of the cul-de-sacs in our town, I hear from some of our van drivers, we pick up about 75% of the kids in that cul-de-sac, which is fantastic. Let's work for 100. How about that? We'll pick up the last few. We'll get them. Of course they're allowed to come. And on Sunday gatherings as well, we have a series coming up called You Asked For It, because you've submitted your questions, your things that you would love to have your lead pastor talk about, and you've not let him off easy at all. And that's okay. And so in the next couple weeks as we get ready for that, I'm going to lay out the topics. And folks, there may be questions, there may be things you've asked that others around might be wondering, a great opportunity to bring them in and to have a conversation about some of their questions. So invite people to come be part of us, to check us out, to be part of what we do. And the second thing is this: if you are here at Evangel Assembly and you are in ministry, you're doing something, you're ushering, you're in the kitchen, you're a musician, you are a greeter, bring someone alongside of you and get them to do it with you this year. Especially if you're the only one that does something. Especially if you're the only one, because we want to continue to multiply our influence, and God will bless that. And so we're going to continue this year to clarify the big picture vision that front of the puzzle box, what we see and the mission, how we're going to get there, that's going to be a priority at Evangel Assembly as we get ready for next year, which is 2020, and everything that this next decade will bring in our town and in our ministry together. Here's the second priority for 2019. We're going to grow our financial stewardship, starting with global missions and local benevolence. Now, here at Evangel Assembly, we have been blessed with faithful donors, and that is fantastic, and we appreciate everything that folks contribute to the ministry of the local church. But we have to realize as well that we also have some significant donors who are of a significant age. I've done some calculating over the last while. 75% of our financial resources come from individuals aged 60 and up. And so while we are good right now, and we will be good for another decade perhaps, we need to be aware of this, and we need to challenge ourselves, especially those of us who are my age, to continue to faithfully become stewards of our finances. In fact, 85% of our financial resources come from those who are 50 and over. So 15% of our financial resources come from folks who are younger than 50. And so we might say, well, that's just because of the attendance demographic. I mean, we look around, that's just because we have fewer people my age and a lot more people who are older than me. And that's true, we do lean in that direction. But people my age under 50 make up a third of our church. Yet we only contribute 15% of the financial resources of our assembly. And in fact, 10% of our annual budget comes from people you will never see through the door because they can't come anymore. Because they are stuck at home because of illness, because of mobility barriers, but they continue to be faithful in their stewardship. And so there's room for growth there, especially in the next season of Evangel Assembly, as the next generation begins to take on the financial stewardship of the ministry of Evangel Assembly. And I've shared on this in the fall. It's about God blessing us as much as we bless Him. We will never be indebted to the Lord. Now, there's some folks, after I've preached in the fall on financial stewardship, there's some folks who have shared with me some testimonies of what the Lord has done when they have been good stewards. And so I do want to invite one of them to come. And I asked her if she would, and she's really nervous. But folks, she just wants to give a brief testimony about how God has blessed her through her faithful stewardship. So Penny, after I preached this in the fall, Penny and I had some conversations, and she shared with me that, you know, when she took stewardship seriously, there were blessings from the Lord that came from that. Did you want to stay there, Penny, or do you want to come up to a chair? Okay.
This won't be long. When I became a member again, I thought, well, one of the things about being a member is that I have to pay my tithes. And the Lord was dealing with me for that, because I was one, well, you know, I always had to buy groceries, and I always had to pay the bills, and I'm sure there's other people like I was. But then I read in Mark 12, Jesus sat down opposite the place where offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. She put everything she had. She trusted God, and she put everything she had. And I wasn't doing that. So now I'm like, why wouldn't I trust God with my money? Why? And He's really blessed me. He's given us what we need. We always have what we need. The bills are paid. Like, I'm blessed. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Penny. Appreciate that very much. It's really encouraging as a pastor when I preach and then we interact later and we find that people are putting things into practice and they're seeing God move faithfully in their lives when they're faithful with Him. And so global missions and local benevolence, folks, those are concrete projects. Those are things that we do here at Evangel Assembly that might kind of fall under the radar, but we can see direct impacts of those things. And so I thought it would be a great thing for us to start there. This past year, we've contributed $25,000 to global missions, and we have done that on a regular basis in addition to the $5,000 that we contribute to MAC through our Sunday school. And so we've contributed $30,000 to missions endeavors, and in 2019, we are looking at about the same in pledges. The board and I are just wrapping up what our pledges will be for 2019. But I want to encourage you, and I want to, throughout the year, keep our global workers more in the limelight so that you know what is going on in their ministries and so that we know exactly what it is that we are contributing to. And then every time they come, you inevitably talk with me about a short-term missions trip. And so maybe we'll consider that, and maybe in 2020 we can have a short-term missions team as we contribute this year and as we get ready and as we talk about our desire to partner with our global workers. But something that maybe flies even further under the radar is local benevolence. Folks, we don't necessarily receive a whole lot of financial resources designated for local benevolence. This past year, I think we received $50 in donations, but we contributed $2,000 to needs within our community. We have people who stop by who are finding themselves in a crisis moment in their life where they have no groceries and they have no food, and we respond to that need. There's times when we cooperate with other organizations in town, the Salvation Army, the Tabitha Center, the Food Bank, and the Midtown Motel occasionally, because of the needs that we see and because of the ways that we can respond to them. We've helped individuals with prescription medication. We've helped individuals with utilities who at various times in life just come up upon a season that is incredibly difficult, and we can be there to minister to their needs. And so this year, I wanted to highlight that for us a bit more so that we could become motivated and even donate to local benevolence. In fact, it was the heart of the board and myself as we set our budget for 2019 that our benevolence, our local needy fund, would actually be a balanced budget this year, that we would receive in contributions as much as we contribute to the community, and in itself would balance itself out. And so that is a goal for us here at Evangel Assembly in 2019. And so here's the challenge. Here's the action step. You can go back and listen to the message on stewardship, the two I shared in the fall. But if you are contributing finances, take a step of faith and ask the Lord, could there be an increase this year? If you're not contributing, ask the Lord, what could I start with? Remember my mantra, it's never changed. Start small. Let it grow from there. Start small, stay regular, and let it grow from there, because the Lord will bless us as we bless Him. I know it's a big ask, folks, but I'm not asking for anything that Mandy and I have not gone above and beyond in our own lives every single year for our local churches that we have been a part of as well. And so consider your contributions to global missions and local benevolence and in tithes and offering, because the blessing will be for you both and the kingdom of God. There is no loss here as we move into a next season at Evangel Assembly. And to make it easy for you, we did launch e-giving in the fall. So we have two ways to give. You remember those cards? Two ways to give. You know, you can give in cash and check, and you can also donate electronically. Well, we have a third way to give that one of our deacons has tested out, and we are now ready to present that to you folks as well. It's called PAR, pre-authorized remittance. And so if you find that it's just tough for you to remember or to go to the bank, or you don't have checks but you have it in your heart to contribute, we have a service that allows us to, on a regular basis, receive funds from your bank account to our bank account, and you will get a tax receipt at the end of the year for those things. And so if that is something that you think would facilitate your donations and your stewardship, that is something that you would like to be a part of, you can speak with our office administrator, Kathy. She has the forms in the office to get you set up with PAR. One of our board members is already set up with PAR, and it's functioning marvelously well. Can I out you, Dave? If you want to know how it works, you can talk with someone who is using this particular method of donation, Dave and Doris Watkins. This is something that they said, this would be easy for us. And I said, well, the PAOC has a function like that. We can use that. And so you can chat with them if you have any questions about that, and also Kathy in our office. That is our second priority for 2019. Here's our third priority for 2019, and this will come as no surprise because of everything we've been discussing over the last 3 weeks. But the second priority will be for us as a congregation to discuss and update our leadership qualifications according to Scripture. And the first way that we can do that, as we've shared over the last 3 weeks, is move toward equal leadership opportunities for men and women alike at Evangel Assembly. Over the past weeks that we've been together, I've shared through Scripture, and we've seen that God has used women in leadership capacities all throughout Scripture with amazing results. And just last week, we looked at when Paul speaks about women in leadership in the New Testament. He seems to affirm it in some places, and he seems to restrict it in others. And we said, this is confusing. Why the double talk? And so we understand Paul's words to indicate this, that he was giving the church instructions for how to best live and operate in an imperfect cultural situation so that the message of the gospel could be primary. But Paul even improved these situations. Instead of stating, as the culture would have, that women need not learn, which was the cultural standard of the day, he created situations where women could learn, and he defined how women might pray and how women might prophesy when the local church was gathered together. And he says the same thing about slavery. Paul says, obey your master, slaves. But he says in 1 Corinthians, if you can find your freedom, take it. To women, he says, live within an imperfect culture as best you can, pressing gently against the edges, allowing women to learn and to pray and to prophesy. And where women were permitted to hold leadership, he thanked them in Romans 16. He thanked Chloe, who was a deaconess, and he thanked Junia, who was an apostle, and he held a church in Lydia's home, a prominent businesswoman in the community. Folks, we don't live in a culture today where the scandal is that women have leadership positions. In fact, the scandal is that they don't. We're freed of the cultural pressures against this leadership. And so Paul, like slavery, would encourage us to move forward and embrace that. Now, we might be inclined to maintain what we have always done because it's worked for us so far. Excluding women from positions on board leadership has brought us this far. And if you've been around Evangel for a while, we might not think it's a big deal. You might think if God wanted to change, he would have already spoken to us. But folks, I'm having these conversations with people on their way into our church. And trust me, as your leader, this is a deal about our witness to the community. I want Evangel to be a church that holds the word of God, Scripture, in high regard. I know you do too. I want us to hold Scripture higher than our traditions. And I see, and we have shared in Scripture, that at some times and at some places, God has empowered women for leadership. Over the time of church history, the church has made many course corrections. The Protestant Reformation, the Pentecostal revivals, and the Lord started speaking to people recently and some years ago, reminding them of the women in Scripture who have held positions of leadership and influence. And virtually all major denominations of Christianity today affirm the equality of women in ministry and church leadership, including our own denomination. Even churches that maybe have staunchly opposed this in the past have recognized that in Scripture, at some times in some places, women were afforded the opportunity to lead And God has allowed this to take place. And so I'm suggesting that we discuss this and that we update our leadership policy that keeps women from holding some leadership positions to a more scriptural policy that allows that sometimes and in some places women be granted the ability to lead. Now, what this doesn't mean is that we have to have a woman on the board at all times at Evangel Assembly. As I've discussed this, there's been maybe some confusion or some misunderstanding about what this might mean. What it means is that we nominate, as we do every year, men and women are nominated every year. I'm not sure if we realize that, but women are nominated every year. But the new policy would mean that we just don't disqualify them on the basis of the fact that they are a woman. But in fact, we consider everyone's character and everyone's suitability for leadership according to Scripture as we would consider any man who is nominated. And then we vote as a congregation at the business meeting. And if your conscience tells you that you cannot vote to put a woman in this position, then you have the right of your individual conscience vote. That is okay. But let's acknowledge that at some times and some places, Scripture does allow for women in leadership. And through our Pentecostal revivals, we see women functioning in that way. You know, I've heard a fear as well that sometimes we have two positions and only two candidates, and essentially we don't get a say. What if we have someone who is not qualified to lead? And they just get on the board by default. That's happened in the past, and that's not the best way. I know this is how it happened last year, but more true to our Constitution, folks, is that individuals do not get a position on the board unless there is a majority vote and the majority confidence of the congregation. And congregations have the right to choose a vacancy versus any individual candidates. And so it might be best for us to move forward in this capacity in any way. In this way, congregations have sufficient checks and balances so that any woman or man will be subjected to the scrutiny of the Word of God and given the confidence of the membership before they are allowed to find their way into leadership. How do we get there? There's the vision, now the mission. If I could wave a wand and make it happen, I would, but I can't, because many, many years ago, the Congregation of Evangel Assembly put this policy in place, and policies must be changed by the way they were put in place in proper process, and so a congregational policy change would require a 50% majority votes at a business meeting. And so, folks, consider in your minds a resolution that would open the door and bring our policies more in line with Scripture, that at some times and some places we can allow equipped women to hold leadership positions while allowing all of us to still vote our conscience as we feel on this issue. Consider that, and we'll discuss that more this year. That is priority number three. Priority number four, last but not least, is to refresh our practice of youth ministry here at Evangel Assembly. Now, we have some people that we need to honor that have brought us to the place where we are today. And so I know, Ryan, you're all the way back there in the sound booth, but can you kind of just come on out and come hang out with us? You won't? Come on out, Ryan. You got the stairs. You're only a couple years older than I am. And you can come on over here and gather around. He's not running away, is he? No, he's coming. Good. Ryan and Ryan's wife, Jocelyn, is over here, and she loves that everyone's just looking this way right now, I'm sure. But Ryan and Jocelyn together, even though Jocelyn has not always been physically here, Jocelyn has had her husband not with her at home at many times. Ryan has brought significant leadership to the youth ministry here over the years. Ryan has given up personal vacation time from work. You know those times when we take and we go somewhere on vacation? Ryan has taken students to youth conventions and to youth camps, and Ryan has spent countless Friday nights taking van loads of children to youth rallies in Barrington and sleeping on church floors at focus retreats at Full Gospel Church in Halifax. Ryan, I gave up on sleeping on church floors years ago, and you're older than I am, just by a smidge. Just by a smidge. Ryan and I were in high school together, so it's not that different. But Ryan, you have done a fantastic job, and Jocelyn, you have given him the flex and the freedom and the ability to do that job. And so, folks, can we just take a moment, as Scripture says, honor your leaders. Can we honor them for what they have done in our youth ministry so far? Thank you. And as pastors have come and gone and come and gone and come and gone and come and gone, you guys have been the steady. You guys have been the consistency there. And the good news is, I know if it hadn't been for all the funerals, we would have had lunch already. The good news is, you're not off the hook at all. But what we are going to do when Pastor Aaron comes, we are going to have another resource that comes alongside of you guys and alongside of the leaders that are working tirelessly with you. He's going to function as a resource. We're not going to call him the youth pastor because he's not going to be the youth pastor, but he's going to come alongside of Ryan, and maybe you'll get to see him more, Jocelyn, and he's going to come alongside of the leadership and the youth, and together, Aaron and me and Ryan and I have already talked about some of these features. We are going to refresh our youth ministry here at Evangel Assembly in 2019. We refreshed children's ministry last year, and that is getting ready to take off in a new direction. We're going to refresh our practice of youth ministry because we want to have a youth ministry that is engaging, that brings people in. We need to have that entrance strategy. We also want to have a discipleship strategy because we want to equip and encourage students to take ownership of their faith, and we want to have a leadership strategy as well. Those young adults and those high school students who have leadership aptitudes, we want to pour into them and invest in them, because if you look around, there's no 20-somethings in our church, or very few. Sorry, Kaylin, very few. And so we want to raise up the next generation to fill that gap, and so that when those of us who are older and more seasoned in our leadership capacities are no longer able to give leadership any longer, we have a solid generation coming behind us that is here, that is connected with us, that is connected with our church, and can take over and carry on the direction that God has given for us. And so, what can we do about that? How can you right now take small steps forward? Well, we need to function as a multi-generational ministry, as a church that passes our faith on from one generation to another. So invest your love and your compassion in the youth and the young generation in ways right now. We have some people that send cards to our college students. Tasha Stewart's in England right now. It's probably pretty lonely. Send her a text or an email or a card if you happen to snag her address. I'm sure her parents know how to get a hold of her. They were here. Now I see Sharon. She's still there. And folks, get ready to, at some times, invest some pieces of your life into students. There will be opportunities for short-term mentoring by older adults, prayer partners, teachers, leaders. Be prepared to invest in the next generation some of what God has put into your heart as well. That will be a fourth priority for Evangel Assembly this year. So folks, 2019 is going to be another year of blessing, I am sure. It's going to be a year of continuing to get our house in order for what the Lord is going to do. We're setting the stage for the next decade. 2020, believe it or not, is just around the corner. And as the Lord moves us as Evangel Assembly to greater depths of ministry and influence within our town, as we see people come and accept Christ as their Savior and Lord, we're going to require greater depths of commitment and greater depths of resolve on our own parts as well, as we disciple, as we increase our capacity. And so we need every hand on the deck in these next year and in the years ahead, because we've said farewell and goodbye to some fantastic people, especially over this last month, men and women of God, those whose passion and service have brought us to the place where we are today. But we need to pick up the cross, pick up the cause in our hands, and increase our capacity, because the future is good if we keep our ear to the Word of God and the other ear to the voice of the Spirit. The future is good And we will continue to be molded and transformed into the church and into the people that God would have us to be. Let me close this morning with some words I shared yesterday at Becky's funeral. Hebrews 12 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith." Let me pray together this morning before we leave. Lord God, I just pray that as we walk into 2019 with some clear directions and mandates, as we have heard from you together in the State of the Church survey, and as we walk into these things that you've put on our hearts, Lord, that you would bless them, and that as your word says in the Gospel of Matthew, that we would always have you with us until the end of the age. Lord, I know it will be difficult at some times. Some of the things that we walk through are challenging, but I pray that you will continue to use your Holy Spirit to guide and to direct us, and that we would be bound together in unity through Christ and his cross and what he has done and what you have done for us, Lord. So we ask all of these things in the name of Christ, and we commit the remainder of this year to you and your purposes as we move forward together. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.